Hey, what up, guys? Welcome into Stacking Dubs. Your host, Christian, here. Sorry, it's been a little while. It's been a weird time for the Warriors where you're just kind of in limbo. Unsure whether you even want them to win or lose at times. Just you're kind of looking to draft picks and you're looking to next year. Which leads me to the only thing you can't do this year is get hurt and injure yourself for next year. And my dude, Moses Moody. Oh, man, my heart breaks for him. My heart breaks for the Warriors. My heart breaks for all of us. It sucks. We'll talk about Moody for a bit, but I just want to give a little light at the end of the tunnel here. The second half of the episode, we're going to talk about Steph Curry, and I'll make the case for him. That Bleacher Report had him listed as number one as the truest, purest scorer in NBA history. So stay tuned after we send our flowers to Moses Moody. We'll talk a little bit about the case for Curry as the purest scorer. But back to Moses. You know, Warriors about to put an exclamation point on the win in overtime, which, you know, it sucks that they even got there. I couldn't close the game out in regulation. So Moody ends up playing overtime, stretching his minutes to 34 minutes in his first game back. You can argue, hey, should he have even been in the game that many minutes coming back from injury? Maybe not. I mean, ultimately results say says no, he shouldn't have been. In reality, you know, Celebrini's there. He, you know, it's a wrist injury. So he's been in shape doing cardio. He's missed 3 weeks, but you know, you have to assume he's been keeping, you know, in shape. It's not NBA minutes, but for the most part, his cardio should have been fine. They had no minutes restriction on him. Maybe they should have, because NBA minutes are much different than just staying in shape through injury. But it is what it is. You know, you can point the finger, as many are just pointing the finger at Kerr, front office, whoever you want to, for him even being in the game. But guys, it's just these accidents, these injuries, freak injuries happen. Can they be avoided? Potentially. But right when you're about to put the exclamation point on the game, steals Cooper flags, gets his cookies, and about to score his 25th points of the night, had a great game, was probably the Warriors' best player other than Porzingis, who was great again, and just go to plant. It's not even a landing. He just goes to plant. And then he gives out. And I've actually had something similar when I've torn my ACL for the first of three times. It might have already been compromised and already torn before I was playing flag football, but it was the same thing. You just kind of go plant to go up to jump and, hey, I see this interception. I see this, you know, slam dunk to finish the game, go up to plant, and then he just buckles. And next thing you know it, you're on the ground calling for the ambulance to come pick you up at the UCLA intramural field, and everyone's taking pictures. And yeah, it was a disaster, but my knee was that bad. Anyways, back to Moses. You hope it doesn't mean that he's out for the entirety of next season. I mean, call it a year, because that one looked really gruesome. A year at best, you know, puts him at whatever this is, 11 games left in the regular season. Maybe he gets back before the playoffs if he really is ahead of schedule. But, you know, I guess style he plays, yeah, if he, you know, he's got to find that rhythm as a shooter. He needs every bit of foot speed lateral that you can get to be an effective defender. You know, he's kind of like right there in terms of just being able to stay in front of guys. So it's just a huge setback, and you just don't know, you know, how long. It could be 2 years until he's truly back to, you know, this form that he's been at recently. And you hate to see it, because he's been playing about as well as we've seen him. He's finally gotten that sample size up at shooting 40% from three all year, where it's like, hey, this guy is a knockdown shooter. Full confidence, shooting with a hand in his face. You know, that 3-point percentage is up 2% from what it was last year, and just numbers up across the board. Up 3 minutes a game from last year. He's up to 25 minutes per game. Scoring up 2 points to 12 points per game. Even rebounds, assists, steals, blocks, everything is up a tick. And probably one of the few Warriors that you could actually point to and say, hey, this guy clearly improved, progressed, and has an upward trajectory going forward. It's essential, because we already know the Warriors have a huge hole at small forward heading forward to next year, depending on what they do and depending on when Jimmy Butler comes back, depending if you can re-sign your stretch centers so that Jimmy Butler can even play the three. Otherwise, you have him back at the four and you really have a need for a small forward now. But Moody, just, you know, the one small forward, the one wing that can actually shoot and space the floor and hold his own defensively. So It's just, I mean, there's a lot of guys the Warriors really can't afford to lose for a long time next year. But Moody, in that second tier of players, but definitely somebody the Warriors could not afford to lose next year at that position and the spacing he provides. It just sucks so much. And just you feel for the guy, the person, because he's such a great guy. He's always been a professional. Team loves him. You saw Draymond Green come over and console him. You saw Steph's reaction. Your heart just breaks for a great kid who's finally turning the corner in his career. I'm glad that he already has a contract for the next year, for the next couple of years. So, who knows how far that sets him back with that. But, you send prayers up and hope for a speedy recovery and not worst case scenario, and that potentially he's back in time to help us next year at some point in the season. A tough one. Well, not much else to say other than I'm just done with this season. I've been done with this season. We're trying to salvage something with a little playoff run just to kind of get team morale up and to attract free agents. And you've just been kind of waiting on this Steph Curry return so we can enjoy watching the game again and at least watch our guy Steph try to sneak into the playoffs. You want to see the combination with him and Porzingis, how it works. But all I could think about after Moody got hurt, and I still feel the same way, and maybe I'm just in the moment, and it's like after you see a big crash on the freeway, you just don't want to drive again for however long. It just, I don't know if you bring Steph back. I know he's probably going to come back and play, but I mean, he's not going to be 100% with that knee. And the last thing I want is for Steph Curry to come back at less than 100% with a joint ailment, and for anything to potentially happen that could hinder you for next season. It's just not worth it. I don't know what the Warriors are going to do if this changes anything in the plans. Obviously, Steph didn't have a setback, but he didn't scrimmage as was scheduled on Sunday. So they're obviously just waiting a little bit longer, which means, I don't know. It means if by the time he ramps up to full minutes, you're entering the play-in time at best, and you're hopefully getting a game to get out of there of full health. If you lose in the play-in, it looks like you're pretty locked into the 11th pick in the lottery, and out maybe what is that, like a 10% chance at a top four pick in the lottery. Somehow you make your way out of the play-in, get in and get beat by the Thunder. Sure, it's nice, and again, it's good to get some playoff exposure and morale, but is that better if you're now picking, what would that be, like 16th, 17th? I don't know if that's worth just the little glorified run that you would have for a couple extra weeks. I don't know. That's why it's been weird, guys, right? We're in limbo. It's just, bigger picture, it's better to get a better draft pick and some lottery balls, but I can see both sides here. So that's all I'll say about that. It's just rough. Let's just get out of this year healthy as can be from here on out and just start the upward process. But let's leave the dark cloud behind us, and let's just shift gears and talk about Steph Curry a little bit, as who recently was voted or chosen by Bleacher Report as the number one atop a list of all NBA scorers as the purest scorer ever. That list includes Kobe, Durant, Michael Jordan, LeBron, you name it, he is number one. And my first thought is, okay, what is the definition of purest score? Like, what does that actually mean? I don't know what their criteria is, but what ChatGPT tells me is essentially the purest in terms of scoring the widest variety of ways at any time and against any defense, any type of defense, which, by definition, if I'm being honest, I don't know that I would consider Curry above, like, say, like Durant, who was number two on the list, just because of the variety of ways Durant can score just on the inside and, in rise up over anyone who's not going to be affected shot. That being said, what I would think they included in purist is efficiency, right? Because when you talk about efficiency and variety now you have an argument that Steph Curry is the purest, most efficient scorer, especially at volume ever. Number one stat that I look at with that is just true shooting percentage, where a three-pointer is worth 150% the percentage as a two-pointer. And Curry's at the top of, I think he's like top 10 in true shooting percentage ever. And that is with a list of everyone who's over like 6'9" and above. And it's a lot of old guys and just a bunch of centers like your DeAndre Jordans of the world. I'll give credit to Nikola Jokic, but for the most part, it's a lot of just kind of bigs that dunk the ball all the time. And then there's Steph Curry, who scores from everywhere at any time against any defense. And, going to kind of that variety of ways, right? So obviously limited a little bit by the size, but the 3-point variety, just he's the best catch and shoot 3-point shooter ever. He's the best off the dribble shooter ever. He's the best pull up shooter ever. He's the best pull-up in the mid-range shooter ever. More so than just variety of ways, he is the best off-ball player ever. He has, I think, in the last 7 years, the highest mid-range percentage in the NBA. Did I say he's like the best step-back shooter? And has a variety of just kind of he basically invented the or refined the step back even before Harden, but he was the first one to really just like bridge the gap to what the NBA is now in terms of the shot selection and just being able to have a variety of different step backs and shoot from the drill. He does is the 12 hours on the clock where it's just one dribble and make a move and pull up going towards the 1 o'clock angle and shooting. Then he does it at 2 o'clock, and he basically has 12 different angles, hands on the clock that he can pull up in different angles from and just hit that shot with consistent and open variety. Steph Curry, this is the stat that gets me, is that he in NBA history has scored the most points per minute played of live basketball. So it excludes free throws. Again, so most points per minute on the floor while the ball is in play. I mean, to me, that is the best. We're removing foul baiting, removing all that. And, how efficiently and how much can you score per minute you're on the court? I mean, that stat kind of tells it all. And then, by the way, he is also the best free throw shooter ever, right? So you're talking about a stat that removes free throws and he's the best. And then it also just happens that he is the best free throw shooter ever. And it's just not even a question. So, yeah, maybe he doesn't get to the line and draw fouls as much, but I would argue that's part of scoring. But when we're talking pure scoring and you're removing foul baiting and drawing fouls and you're adding efficiency in, yeah, I can see why you have Steph Curry as the purest scorer ever. Also, he's an elite finisher. He's had some off years and missed, he's missed his share of layups in the last couple of years. But at one point, you could have said him and Kyrie, and it was an argument back and forth that who was the best finisher in the league. Also, who had the best handle in the league. I know that's not quite scoring, but that's part of this. I think Steph is the most skilled player ever because when I define skill, I'm basically removing your athletic size, athletic ability, explosiveness, and just how good are you at the game of basketball. That's what I consider skill, not just who's the best dribbler and crafty layup shoot finisher. I mean, shooting is the most important skill, and just your decision making is a skill, seeing the game, anticipating, creating spacing, all those things are skills, and they also lead into just being also the purest score ever. And then lastly, we talk about scoring against any defense. Well, it doesn't matter who's one-on-one in man coverage with Steph. He's going to score on you, whether it's getting by you or stepping back on you. Doesn't really matter. He abuses bigs. He abuses smalls. No matter what, Steph Curry, just as good as it gets against one-on-one man coverage. And then you just can't play a zone against Steph when he's on the court. Teams try and just play that little box and one or whatever they want to do, and he still gets his because he doesn't force it. He's smart enough to get the offense efficient and lets his guys play 4-on-4 or 4-on-3 a lot of the time. But if we're being honest, against a zone defense, you want someone who can knock down threes and stretch that zone out. And Steph Curry is probably the last player you want to play against in a zone defense. So for all those many reasons, I would call Steph Curry, that is the case for Steph Curry to be the purest scorer ever. Depends on your definition of purist, but I'll revise and call him the most skilled player ever, the best scorer per minute, so best, most efficient scorer ever, if we're counting for true shooting percentages, and obviously the best shooter ever. And then there's just so many best catch and shoot player ever. There's just so many best evers when you talk about Steph Curry. I mean, you can call him the best offensive player ever. That'll get some pushback. You have obviously Michael Jordan and this and that, but you can make the case that Steph Curry is the best offensive player ever when I talk about how much it heightens and raises the level of everyone around him, and especially the shot quality. The analytics don't lie. People use that eye test and just say he's small, or, he's not as like physically dominant as like a Shaq and can't just impose his will quite the same way as some of these other guys. But when it comes to the analytics and the efficiency and just the raw numbers, and then you throw in the fact that he is as clutch as it gets. And I mean, at the end of the game, yeah, I know you have Michael Jordan, Kobe Bryant, who are as clutch as it gets at end of games. But if you're down 3 points and you're against the Monstars and Planet Earth is at stake, there's nobody in the world in the clutch that you would have taken one shot than Steph Curry. Purest scorer ever, depending on your definition. All right. Hopefully, we can leave it with a little optimism there. I'm going on vacation for my 5th anniversary to Cabo, so I'll be gone for a week or so. Hopefully, Steph is back after that, and then we can hopefully enjoy a little run, little playoff run, and salvage what's left of this season. All right, you guys, thanks for tuning in. Give me a like, subscribe, please. I will talk to you guys next time. Peace, love, and stacking dubs.